Instead, they are where ecological and evolutionary tensions between cooperation and conflict are negotiated and resolved. These struggles often result not in the evolution of stronger, more disconnected selves, but in the dissolution of the self into relationship. Because life is network, there is no nature or environment separate and apart from humans. We are part of the community of life, composed of relationships with others. So the human nature duality that lives near the heart of many philosophies is, from a biological perspective, illusory. We are not, in the words of the folk hymn, wayfaring strangers traveling through this world, nor are we the estranged creatures of Wordsworth's lyrical ballads, fallen out of nature into a stagnant pool of artifice where we misshape the beauteous forms of things. Our bodies and minds, our science and art, are as natural and wild as they ever were. We cannot step outside life's songs. This music made us. It is our nature. Our ethic must therefore be one of belonging, an imperative made all the more urgent by the many ways that human actions are fraying, rewiring, and severing biological networks worldwide. To listen to trees, nature's great connectors, is therefore to learn how to inhabit the relationships that give life its source, substance, and beauty.
Part 1. Ceiba, near the Tiputini River, Ecuador, 0 degrees 38 minutes 10.2 seconds south, 76 degrees 8 minutes 39.5 seconds west. Moss has taken flight, lifting itself on wings so thin that light barely notices as it passes through. The sun leaves not a color, but a suggestion. Leaflets spread, and the moss plants soar on long strands. A fibrous anchor tethers each flyer to the swarm of fungi and algae that coats every tree branch. Unlike their crouched and bowed relatives in the rest of the world, these mosses live where water has no skin, no boundary. Here, the air is water. Mosses grow like filamentous seaweeds in an open ocean. The forest presses its mouth to every creature and exhales. We draw the breath, hot, odorous, almost mammalian, seeming to flow directly from the forest's blood to our lungs. Animate, intimate, suffocating. At noon, the mosses are in flight, but we humans are supine, curled in the fecund belly of life's modern zenith. We're near the center of the Yasuni Biosphere Reserve in western Ecuador. Around us grows 16,000 square kilometers of Amazonian forest in a national park, an ethnic reserve and a buffer zone, connected across the Colombian and Peruvian borders to more forest that, seen through the lofty gaze of satellites, forms one of the largest green spots on the face of the earth. Rain. Every few hours, rain, speaking a language unique to this forest. Amazonian rain differs not just in the volume of what it has to tell. 3.5 meters dropped every year, 6 times Grey London's count. But in its vocabulary and syntax. Invisible spores and plant chemicals mist the air above the forest canopy. These aerosols are the seeds onto which water vapor coalesces, then swells. Every teaspoon of air here has 1,000 or more of these particles. A haze.